Okay, here we go. So we're going to chazer. We have two main sugyas from last week. We're holding in on the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. We have Miyot Gova Sukkah. We've already established that a sukkah over 20 amos is no good. It's puzzle. So we give different reasons for that. Now we're moving into things you could possibly do to deal with that height of a sukkah. Maybe you could put something on the ground and be mevatel it, and now you have less than 20 amos of space between your ground and your schach. So first the Gemara throws out karim uchsasos, you're trying to put down these pillows and blankets. We say that doesn't work. We'll go into different reasons as to why not. You also have an option of teven, and then we throw out afar as well. And then what you can do to those objects, you can either be mevatel it, which again we'll speak how. Rashi says bepeh, with your mouth b'shiva for 7 days. You can be enos alufnoso. You're not. You don't really have anything in mind that you're going to use it for, so it's going to probably stay there. Stam, you just put it down. You don't really give it much thought. Or asilufnoso, you do think about it. So we have this Gemara with these different options of what to do. So bittel works for everything except for a karim v'chsasos. So why doesn't it? Rashi says there's a hefsid mamono. We're mevatel your bittel. We don't allow you to be mevatel it because you're going to end up losing money. So either it's because of gshamim, the Meiri throws out, even if you're indoors, just being on the ground is no good because the Meiri brings in the Eros Chanukah case where you're inside, but still being on a dirt ground, either from the wetness or just being on the ground, it's going to be ruined. That's why it's no good. The Ran says a little bit differently. The Ran brings up that when the Gemara does a different case about grain is something that can stay there for a week or two. A man's got to eat, right? But if he has other food, he can leave the grain there. If he has his pillows and blankets there, you need to sleep every night. Someone in his family is going to be lacking their, bedding or whatever. You're not going to be able to leave it there for a week. Just practically, you can't be mevatel this. We're going to be mevatel your bittel. Why? You can't pretend you're not going to need this. We know you're going to need it. We know you're going to have to take it back. So even though the Ran agrees with Rashi on 7 days, and we'll get into the machlokas about how long one needs to be mevatel for, he says since you're going to need to use it, that's why it won't work for current v'chsasos, because people are going to need their bedding. So the Ritva doesn't like, he has some kashya on Rashi, we're going to flesh it out more later. For his own shita, we'll just say his shita now, he holds la'olam, you need to be mevatel for more than just 7 days for la'olam. And furthermore, he does not understand why Rashi requires bepeh. He thinks even something that you think about, like a dvarim shebelev, in halacha we have dvarim shebelev and dvarim, but that's only by, let's say, hektish and nadarim, certain cases. In general, if you think something and you really believe it, then why should that be that you have to now articulate that? He thinks it's completely fine if you have it in your heart and it's lo'olam, that's his shita. We'll get to his kash, that you're going to be mevatel, that you're not going to be using the teven. The teven's on the floor. You don't need to say, I'm mevatel this teven, I'm not going to use it for him, it would be lo'olam. You're just thinking, the teven's new purpose is to be on the floor, I'm not going to use it to feed my animals or whatever. That's the shita of the Ritva. We'll get into his kash and Rashi in a minute. Before that, we have a potential nafkamina between all of these shitas. The Bir Halacha on Tuf Reish Lam and Gimel talks about how there was a rich people would have a cushion that they put on the floor. So what if you bring this like rug and comfortable cushion thing out to your sukkah? Let's say it's thick, it's a tefach thick. So could that work to be mamayit? Let's say you're exactly 20 amos, you bring out this rug, and now the distance between the top of the rug and the schach is less than 20 amos. Should that work? Should that not? So let's go through the shitas quickly. Everyone works out pretty well. I mean, Rashi, Hefsid Mamono. There's not a Hefsid Mamono here. This is what it's supposed to be used as. You're supposed to put it down on the ground. That's what it's supposed to be used as. Similarly, the Ran said the issue was you're going to need to use the pillows and blankets for sleeping. Here, the rug, the cushioning is supposed to go on the ground. So you're not using it out of its purpose. You're going to need it back. It's on the floor where it's supposed to be. So the both of them would say it could work to be mamayit. The Meiri, don't jump the gun. You might think to say with the Meiri, also like Rashi, he would say it's good. But, says the Bir Halacha, making a diuk from later on in the Meiri, where he talks about cheaper pillows that could be easily, cheapy stuff that you might not care so much about. He says, even those you shouldn't use to be mamayit. So it's not just this hefsid mamono of your fancy pillowcase, your mother's fancy living room pillows, even like cheap pillows that you're going to maybe even throw out soon anyway or whatever. We almost make a little plug across the board of the category of things that you sleep with. So Rebbe said this cushion would presumably fall in that same category, something that you sit or lie on. They're all in this category. And the Meiri says you don't use these to be mamayit. So the Meiri probably would say no good. The Ritva is interesting just because he says you need la'olam. So what happens? You're going to leave the rug there for all time? So let's say you do. You're going to need to pick it up and clean it. So the Bir Halacha is a little bit specific. He says, maybe you pick it up and clean it, put it right back, so it still counts to be mevatel la'olam. You're really taking it all away, only to put it right back. Or does that ruin its la'olam status? So we have Rashi and Ran would say it works. Meiri would probably say it doesn't work. Ritva, we're Mesupak, we're not exactly sure whether it would categorize as la'olam or not. Fine. So, moving back to this machlokes, we said Rashi says bepeh l'shiva. So Rabbeinu Chananel and Rabbeinu Avi Ezri hold that it needs to be la'olam, and we said the Ritva ends up also thinking it needs to be la'olam. The Rush backs up Rashi. The Rush says we have a case where you need to be mevatel a chater on Shabbos. Sorry, a wall that's between two chateros, and you know we didn't get so involved in the specifics because it's off our mesecta, but it'll probably requires a lot of Hilchos Shabbos knowledge. But how long do you need to be mevatel that wall for? The Rush says just for that Shabbos. So it seems that the time frame matches the mitzvah or whatever, however long you need it for. For Sukkot, 7 days. For Shabbos, one Shabbos. So the Rush likes the fact that Rashi says for 7 days. For Sukkot, that's how long it needs to be mevatel for. Fine. So we already said that the Ritva doesn't agree with that. The Ritva thinks l'olam. So the Ritva had a few kashas on Rashi. Two main kashas. One is from the Gemara Bava Basra, Yud Tesama Beis. It's a very interesting case. We have two rooms and the mace is in one room and there's a space between, let's say, a gap in the wall of a tefach or more between the two rooms, so the tumah should extend to the second room, and you put a rukik in that gap, you put like a wafer that is enough to make it less than a tefach between of airspace, of gap between in the wall between the two rooms. But the Gemara ends up saying that it doesn't think you're actually mevatel it. No one's going to mevatel it. So it's a concern that you're probably going to come to eat it. But the Ritva says there, based on that Gemara, if it weren't a bitul olam, then why can't you just leave it there and eat it later? Meaning it sounds like the Ritva's impression from this Gemara is that it's a bitul olam, because the Gemara ends up saying it's not going to work out well. And if it's a bitul olam there, it should be a bitul olam by Sukkah too. So that was one kasha on Rashi that we spoke out different potential answers. The rukik might go bad, we threw out one answer. Rebbe ended up saying that there's a difference between, there's no time frame by the mace and there's a time frame by Sukkah. Others spoke out that there's a difference in a chashash that you might eat the wafer, so there we're saying the bittul doesn't work, but for Tevin, when you're not going to eat it, you're going to feed it to your animals. So there's less of a chashash there, so maybe it wouldn't need to be as strong of a bittul there. Fine. The second kasha of the Ritva was that he's not focusing on the shiva, on the time frame of seven versus l'olam, but rather he's focusing on the bittul b'fiv, the batala that you need to say with your mouth. So the Ritva says, I understand bittul b'fiv in theory if you held l'olam. The Ritva really associates la'olam and bittul b'fiv. So we're going to ask also and focus on why does the Ritva himself not say that? Right? The Ritva himself says la'olam and not b'fiv. But anyway, he says, I would understand if you hold b'fiv, Rashi, and you held la'olam. If you're going to hold b'shiva, b'fiv makes no sense. Why would you need an explicit statement above the necessary just thinking it? Why would you need a statement if you're going to hold 7 days? So we're going to have to flesh out a little bit more in a minute. But first, let's get another shita. Agos Maimonides quotes a Rav Yah who holds la'olam and b'fiv. So you need to speak it out and it's for all time. The Ritva does not say that himself, but he would say, that shita makes sense to me. I understand that. I don't understand Rashi, who holds you need 7 days and b'fiv. That really doesn't make sense for the Ritva. He views those as water and oil. If you're not going to say la'olam, how do you say b'fiv? So we're going to speak out of Mahalik for what the Ritva and Rashi really are thinking. But the Rav Yah says you need both of those. So we have Rashi. Rashi holds b'shiva and b'fiv, 7 days, and you have to speak it out. The Ritva holds la'olam, and you don't need to speak it out, b'fiv or b'lev, either way. The Rav Yah says b'fiv, you need to speak it out, and la'olam. Those are our three shitas. So we have our kasha on the Ritva, we have kasha on Rashi, we have a little bit to clarify. So let's figure out Rashi first. Let's see. Rashi, what's pshat? Rashi says you need to speak it out, b'fiv. Why does he hold that? So the Pnei Yoshua is the quicker, simpler, more technical answer. He loved Afkas Rashi. Yeah, in Echanami, Rashi says b'fiv, but he doesn't really mean that. He means, if you think it out, that's like you said it. And if you said it, certainly then it works. But you don't really, if you really thought out a good batala in your heart and didn't speak it out, that could also work with the Pnei Yoshua. So that's how he gets out of it. He has to read Rashi in a funny way because he's really concerned with the kasha of the Ritva. It's a strong kasha, so the way Rabbi said it, he's like, he has to stand on his head to read Rashi. So let's try to come up with a mahalik, or we did in Shir, a mahalik where it fits better into the actual words of Rashi. It says, Naftu also pointed out in Shir, it's not just that initial Rashi that says b'peh l'shiva, the next Rashi also talks about b'peh. He's not just throwing that out there once. He seems to hold that a shita is, you need to articulate it, you need to speak it out. So we went into an analysis of what's really happening. We know you could be mevatel, but what are you really doing when you have this sukkah that's, let's say, 21 amos, and you're bringing out this tevin? So what's really happening? Rebbe spoke out two options in Shir. Either you have you are lowering the airspace between the schach and the ground. So now your feet are closer to the schach. If you're going to bring in this teben, you're now elevated. You're sitting in your sukkah, you're eating, you're sleeping, whatever you're doing. Your feet are now less than 20 amos away from the schach. You're putting something there and you're making it kavua as a part of the sukkah. You're not going to bring it out. And that's lowering the airspace to less than 20 amos. That's one option. The second option is you're bringing something out there, you're putting it on the ground. You're also lowering the distance between your feet and the schach. But now, it's not just that you're putting something there to take away some of the airspace. You're raising the karka, sukkah, the teben is becoming a part of the ground itself to make it that the ground extends and that the distance between the karka and the schach is less than 20 amos. Those are not the same. One is the airspace, one is the karka itself. So those are the two options we threw out. We tried to say Rashi fits into option number one. And it's not about the karka being elevated, but more about just the airspace being mitigated and you have less than 20 amos of gap.
We just saw this morning though, Rashi says on the bottom of Gimel and the Beis, he says both stuck into it.
Yeah, Sheep says you got both.
Yeah, Rashi says it here. The Mai Gova Chalola Mechav. Vindos and Mikarka, you saw the idea.
Interesting.
Because he literally says the fish, but they're both sides of the
right,
floor.
Right. Very interesting. So I had my own potential issues. I want to look at that Rashi more later. But yeah, so I don't know, whatever. So that's definitely a good aura. So Rashi seems to allude a little bit to both. But anyway, so we have, so Rabbeinu Manoach quotes. He's speaking out Rashi in Perek Dalet in Hilchos Sukkah, and he says that if you're Mevatel, if you're really Mevatel, what does that accomplish? It means we're not worried that you're going to take the straw and give it to your animals. So that's going to be important for that. That really gives us the reason why the Batel is important. So we'll speak that out more later. But then furthermore, he goes on and he says that, what about on Yontif? Is this considered Bona? Is it considered Bona if you're Mevatel, the Tavim? So why would it be considered bona? So if we spoke out our two options, if you think you're really adding to the karka itself and extending the karka, then perhaps we can make an argument that it's bona. So he ends up saying, he brings it up, he's not exactly sure, and then he says it's probably not bona, because you're not really doing, there's no real physical element, you're not really doing a maisa. So not only does he quote the suffix, we have the Shulchan Aruch, Tav Reish Lamed Gimel, Sivkatan Dalet, and the Mishnah Berurah there quotes the suffix, and some people hold that taka is bona and you can't do it on yontif. He quotes some achronim who say that. So why would you say that again? Those achronim clearly hold option two. You being mevatel is building in the karka. It's extending the karka. So Rebbe tried to say that the Rabbeinu Manoach clearly reads Rashi into option one. I pointed out, and it's not the smoothest thing per se, because if you really held option one, you wouldn't have this suffix of bona. If you hold option one, there's no bona at all. You're not building anything. You're putting something in and you're lowering airspace. You're not building. And so he shouldn't have said, oh, there's really no ein bo mesa klal, so it's probably not bona.
No,
he probably should.
Aren't we selling like Misakin Kli or something?
I don't remember saying that. Meaning, I get you're saying by making a kava as a part of the sukkah. Interesting. But then this wouldn't be relevant to the chiluk at all. Then you're saying both stadim should hold a suffix of bona. I guess you would say one side is even stronger, but you know, I hear you're saying that could be the subject. It's a good point. So we have these two options, and we're putting Rashi into option number one. We're going to take a break from the two options for just a minute, and have a sharp kasha of the Meiri. So putting things in the context again, we said we know that a sukkah above 20 amos is possible. How do we know that? Because we learned the first few dafim in sukkah. We have three different opinions, Namorayim, Rabba, Rabbi Zeira, and Rava, as to why that is the case. So we're holding the reasons. Rava is how most of the Rishonim Paskin, like Keva versus Sarai, Arai versus Keva. So if this is the case, that's why it's no good. If you read this case, it's a little bit strange. If you read this Gemara, so you put in the Teven, and you're able to move out to it, so now it's less than 20 amos, it's Kshera. Yeah, according to Rabba, Shalta Ba'ino, now you're closer to seeing the Schach, makes perfect sense. According to Rabbi Zeira, the ratio of sunlight to shade, now the Schach is closer to the ground, so there's more shade provided from the Schach itself and not the walls, makes sense. According to Rabba, Rivers, Kama, you still have walls that are 21, 22 amos tall, why should putting in Teven affect that equation at all? It shouldn't. Now we have this case where you're going to call this Arai, it should still be Keva, you still have tall walls. It doesn't really make so much sense. So that's the Meir's Kashi. He gives a very Lundishim Mahalich that he says, you have to say that when you put the Teven in, and you're Mavata the Teven is an extension of the Karka itself, it's as if the walls only start where the Teven ends. So putting in two Amos worth of Teven, or an Amo worth, whatever it may be, that's where the walls start, even though the walls are 22 Amos. If you think about it this way, let's say I gave you a Sukkah that has 23 Amos, but I dug little holes into the ground where the walls go 5 amos into the ground and it only extends 15 amos or 16 amos above ground, you wouldn't tell me that's a kava sukkah. So halachically speaking, Ish Halacha, you know, looks at this sukkah and he says it looks like it's 23 amos tall, the walls, but they're not really, because it's the walls only really start halachically where the teven ends, so because the teven's an extension of the karka itself. So that really fits into that second, you know, option we spoke out. So very interesting shot by the Meiri in order to fit Shidas Rava into this Gemara. So with a lot of these ideas, we can now understand the Ritva and Rashi a little bit better. So we already spoke out for Rashi based on that Rabbeinu Manach earlier. What is this bepeh? The nisgal lefi Rashi. It's not this fundamental bepeh. It's just I can think it, and that might mean something. But by speaking it, it's the icing on the cake. Now you really know I'm not going to take this away to feed my animals. I'm not going to do it. I told you I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. That's how Rashi understands the bepeh. That's why he needs it. So what about the Ritva? The Ritva doesn't understand why Rashi requires dibur. The Ritva understands dibur is much more fundamental. The Ritva thinks that dibur is to turn something into the karka itself. To turn something into the karka itself. And that, to doing it for 7 days, doesn't really make so much sense for the Ritva. So the Ritva says you don't need a dibur, because the Ritva and Rashi, ironically, are more similar than we thought. They both hold option one. They both hold your job is to put Tevin in to make your feet closer to the schach itself, not to turn the Tevin into the karka. So why does Rashi hold you need a dibur? We explained already. Say so actually leave it. So now we need to ask on the Ritva, so we don't understand why does the Ritva say lo'olam. So we said lo'olam is really also just to provide a gemir estas. The same way Rashi's dibur is to provide a complete gemir estas that we know you're going to leave it there. Same thing with the Ritva, ironically. The Ritva holds that if you held set seven, maybe you'll take it a little bit earlier. If you say lo'olam, it's really going to stay there. So in the end, Rashi and the Ritva are both very similar. They both just need a gemir estas. One says you get that through the dibur, the other says you get that through the lo'olam. So how do we really know that in the Shita of the Ritva? We're not just making things up over here. The Ritva later on has a case where from Bava Basra, Chaf Amin Aleph, where it's a very strange case of a tinok of 8 months, which back in the times of Gemara would die. So the important part of the case for us is that there's another reason why you won't actually touch the thing on Shabbos. The baby is in the window, and there's a takana that you're not allowed to move it, only the mother can move it. So let's say we know you're not going to move the object. You have an object there that you want to be mevatel to hold out the tumah from one room to the other. We know you're not going to move it. If we know you're not going to move it, the Ritva says, there you don't need to say lo'olam. You just need to be mevatel for as long as the time frame is. Because lo'olam is only a way to guarantee us that you have this gemir estas, you're not going to touch it. If we already know you're not going to touch it in the interim time frame, then you don't need lo'olam. So the Ritva and Rashi are really similar in that they both hold that option one, and they both hold that we just need to ensure that you're not going to take it out. One of them thinks lo'olam is the way to get us there, the other thinks the dibur is.
Can you say that raya one more time?
The raya is that it's less of a raya, more the Ritva showing his hand. That in a case where you know the baby can't be moved except by the mother, if I understand this case correctly. Yeah, you're not allowed, so there's a takana that you're not allowed to touch it. So in this case, a bit of lo'olam, the Ritva says, is not necessary. Why not? I thought we hold that the Ritva holds you need a bit of lo'olam. So because we know you're not going to be able to touch it for the rest of Shabbos anyway, therefore he doesn't need a bit of lo'olam. The bittul is not some fundamental thing that's, you know, allowing us to utilize this object to hold back the tumah. It's that the bittul lo'olam only tells us we know you will keep it there for as long as you need it there. But if we already know there's another reason that it's muksa and you're not going to touch it on Shabbos, therefore we don't need you to be mevatel lo'olam. The bittul lo'olam is only as a means towards giving us more gemir estas, when that gemir estas has already been achieved from some other way, i.e. it's muksa, there's another reason why you can't touch it, and we don't need the bittul lo'olam. So that's why the bittul lo'olam, in our case, is really only to give us that gemir estas. So that's how we wrapped up that Machlokas Rashi Ritva. And we moved on to the next case in the Gemara. We're on Dalad Amanal, Sukkah Gavoa Me Esher Ma'ama. The roots in Yarden, you have these leaves that protrude down and break the 20 Amma barrier. So, Betoch Esherim. The schach itself is above 20 amos. You have these leaves that are below 20 amos. So what's the halacha? The Gemara tells us, if the hutz and yardim are more tzel than chama, tzel samir mechamasa, it's kshera. So when I read this Gemara with Yosef, I said, it's pasha to din, makes a lot of sense. Good halacha. So Rabbi said in Shir, anyone who actually knows sukkah, which unfortunately I'm not privy to just yet, this is a peladik din. If you're holding in anything, the Gemara on Daf Tes, Testament base, seems to imply very, very differently. So what's this Gemara on Daf Tes? You have a sukkah. We'll talk about what kind of a sukkah you have. It's Mechilas Rishonim. Under a tree. And the tree obviously is Pasul Schach. Why? It's attached to the ground. We know that. So in such a case, you don't just need Tzlosim Rumi Chamasa in the lower level and the sukkah itself. You also, we end up speaking out a lot of things. It turns out it looks like it's going to be Pasul, but Rapapa says if you lower the branches and you make it a tziruf between these attached branches and these non-attached branches and you put them together, then seemingly we'll speak out the lumdus a little bit. I guess the Pasul Schach is Mavato and the Kasher Schach, but there is such a case where it could be Kshera. But the Gemara on Daf Tes doesn't say, it says you have to lower it and mix them together and then it's Kshira. It doesn't say as long as the lower level is more Tzlosim Rumi Chamasa, it's Kshira. That was the halacha on Daf Dalet. But if you look back to Daf Dalet, we have two layers separated by this 20 Amma marker. The top layer is Pasul Schach. The bottom layer is Kshira. We should also say that it's no good. Meaning Tzlosim Rumi Chamasa on the lower layer shouldn't be enough to make it good. You should have to do more like we had to do on Daf Tes. So the Rush speaks out the Gemara Daf Tes and has a very interesting read. He holds that it's not a regular case of a sukkah. What kind of a sukkah do you have on Daf Tes? You have a sukkah that has less kasher schach than avir, meaning let's say 40% kasher schach. So it's really not kosher. And then that sukkah's under a tree. And if you lower that tree and use the pasul schach and make a, you know, tziruf and a combination of these two, and the pasul schach is mevatel to the kosher schach, you have more kosher schach than pasul schach. Therefore, you now could have a kosher sukkah. It's a big chiddush that the pasul schach can be mevatel to the kosher schach. But what's the important thing for the Rush? He reads back on the Haftalah and he says, of course it makes sense. If you had Tzalsim Rimei Chamas on the lower layer, of course it would be Kshira. And if on Daf Tes you had that, it also would be Kshira. But on Daf Tes, we're talking about a case where you don't even have a robe of Kasher Schach. If you had a robe of Kasher Schach, for sure, I mean, you have a robe as it pertains to the Pasul Schach. Again, let's say it's 40% and 20%. That's a good way to understand it. You don't have enough to have a Kasher Sukkah on your own, but it's much more than the Pasul Schach, and together they're more to make more shade than sun. So that's how it works out in Daf Tes. But if you had a regular Sukkah with more Kasher Schach than Avir, Pashtun would be Kshera. So there's no steer at all between Daf Tes and Daf Tes, says the Rush. So Tosos also says like the Rush, and Rebbe said that if one reads Rashi carefully, you could also see that. Rashi says that on Daf Tes, that the Pasul Schach is Bahashlim the Tzel Sukkah. What do you mean, Hashlim the Tzel Sukkah? You should be fine with the Tzel Sukkah itself. We just don't want the Pasul Schach to be in the way, so we have to lower it. It seems like the Pasul Schach is fulfilling a part of the actual Tzel. You need it to help out in being Hashlim the Tzel itself. The Pasul Schach plus the Kasher Schach becomes the Tzel Sukkah. So maybe Rashi is saying something similar, that you need more Schach, you don't have enough of just the kshira, so the pasuk comes together to be lahashlim the tzel sukkah. Now you have a robe. So that was Rashi. So we have all this whole camp holds that. The Rush quotes the Rav Yah, Rabbi Rav Yezri, who says a little bit differently. He says b'shem the riva. By the way, he says that even if you have more shade than sun in the sukkah below, so you have more schach than avir, and there's more sun than shade coming through the tree, so a lot of the sunlight's still hitting the lower sukkah, and the sukkah is providing tail. It's still psula. It's still psula because you have parts of the tree that are blocking on top of the schach kusher, just doesn't work out. So what does he hold the case is? You have a good sukkah, but it's under the tree, so now you have a problem. So what does he say? Rapapa, you lower the branches, and then you put the pasul schach in the gaps within the kusher schach, and now you have a kusher sukkah. So lefi, the Rav Yah, you do have a case where you have more kusher schach than pasul schach. So that might, we'll see that the Rush is not necessarily the smoothest read on Daf Tes. We'll have later on the Kasha of the Ran, but on Daf Tes, maybe the Rav Yah work fits better or equal to the Rush, but how does that make sense at all in light of Daf Tes? The Rav Yah is saying that if you have more shade than sun, the tree still causes problems for you and you need to get around it. Yet on Daf Dalet, all we need is more shade than sun, Tzalsim Rimei Chamas, and apparently it's Kshera. So why is this the case? So the Rush asks this Kashan and gives an answer for the Rav Yah. He says, there's a big difference here. In Daf Tes, you have a case where it's actually a Pasul Schach. It's Psul Be'etzem. It's Mechobel Lekarka. That's Pasul Schach. On Daf Dalet, is it Pasul Schach? No. It's completely Kasher Schach. It just happens to be too high. It's Lamala Me'asur Mamu. Is that Psul Be'etzem in the Schach itself? No. And we spoke out this Chiluk actually earlier in this Zman with the Me'iri on Tasav Laman Asui. Not all Psuls were created equal, as Rebbe might say. So we have some Psuls that are really Psul Be'etzem in the Schach itself. Another one is the Schach can't be used if it's above 20 Amos, but it's not a Psul itself. So there, when it's above the lower layer, as long as you have more Tzalsim Rimei Chamas on the lower layer, that's fine. If you have a Schach that's actually Psul Be'etzem, then that causes trouble. Even if your lower level has more shade than sun, it's still problematic, and that's why Daf Tes plays out a little bit differently than Daf Dalet. Yes?
On Daf Tes, according to Rav Yah, is it just a matter of the tree is Rav Tzel or Rav Chama?
Even if more Chama than Tzel comes through the tree, which is the better option, you still need to lower the branches. Because they're Psul Be'etzem. The way you would explain it is that any amount of tree over your sukkah is problematic because you have Pasul Schach blocking the potential of your Kasher Schach. Whatever areas it does provide shade is now blocking your Kasher Schach from doing its job. Why don't you say the same by Daf Dalet? Because by Daf Dalet, even if you have a lot of Schach on top of your Kasher Schach, it's not Pasul Schach on top of your Kasher Schach. It's ineligible Schach on top of your Kasher Schach. So there, as long as your lower layer has Tzalsim Rimei Chamas, that if you remove the top layer, you'd have more shade than sun, that would presumably be Kshira. So, but now we're going to analyze that a little bit more. So that's the clarification between the Chiluk on Dalet and Tes. Tosos brings up a Gemara on Erev and Gimel Menalef, and so which speaks about seemingly our exact case. It says you have a Mavoy or a Schach that are partially above 20 Amos, partially below. What's the din? So we end up saying pretty much every option under the sun. One's Pasul, one's Kasher. Others Pasul, others Kasher. Both Pasul, both Kasher. But Tosfos reads the Shach of the Gemara and comes up with a little bit of an interesting read. He says, the Gemara at one point says, so let's say we pretend the top Schach is not there. Let's remove the Schach that's above 20 Amos. The Gemara says that it'll be as if it's Chamasam Rumi Tzalasa. So Tosfos says, what does it really mean there? It means that if you remove the top Schach, then it's as if, then you have Schach that's there and still fine, but it's lighter, so it might blow away. And in light of that, it might come, it's a chashash to Rabbanan, that it might come to be not kshira. Doraisa, it's okay, but the tzad that says sukkah is no good, there's a chashash that it might become no good because of the wind. So Tosfos asks the kasha, he says, why do we have a worry there on Erev and Daf Gimel that it might be no good? Hutzin Yarden seems to be the exact same case. Hutzin Yarden is schach partially above, partially below. If you remove the schach above, so the Hutzin Yarden also might blow away. And now we have a pasul sukkah. So why are we saying it's kshira over here, no good over there? So Tosfos answers that the chiluk is, there's still more shade than sun from the bottom layer in that case, but the supports are up top. So the second you remove the supports, it's all going to go away. In our case, you have a rov chutzin, not a rov is the majority, Rebbe pointed out, it's a rov, you have a lot, you really have a lot of it, and even if you remove the top layers, there's enough chutzin that it's strong enough that it'll still actually stay there, says Tosfos. So that's the chaluk between Erevin and Sukkah, for why Erevin, we have this chashash derabanan lefi some of the deos, and by Sukkah, we don't have this chashash. The Ritva has a similar issue of these two gemaras, and he gives a different answer. He says that you have these branches, picture these just blank branches that are attached to leaves that go in one of the two directions. So by Erevin, the leaves go up, and by Sukkah, the leaves go down. See, the branches at, let's say by an Erevin, below 20, but the leaves are above 20. So if you remove those, obviously you're not going to have a Kasher Sukkah, because you he holds you taka donut, you'll have much more chaman than sale. The ikur is the branches, but it's not actually providing a lot of shade. It's just supporting the rest of it. So the big kiddush lefi this ritva, just pause for, parenthetically for a minute, is that even if you have schach above 20 amos, it could be kshira. How? If the ikur of that schach is below 20 amos. Since the branches are beneath 20 amos, even though the stuff that's actually providing more tzel than chama is above 20 amos, it's kshira on a doraisa level because the ikur brings it down as if it's below 20 amos. But midrabanan, we're worried that if you ignore the top half, it doesn't really work out because your top half is above 20 amos, so that's no good. By the sukkah case, you have these branches and the leaves coming down, so therefore you have the ikur's above 20 amos in that case, actually, interestingly enough, but still the majority that's providing more tzel than chama is within the 20 amma barrier, so therefore in that case we don't have a chashash. Those are the chilukim.
The chashash is when the branches are above the support.
When the it's very I definitely don't have this real clear, but when the branches are lower than 20 amos, but the leaves protrude higher than that.
And this chashash is provided by the upper part.
Yeah, yeah, more tzel than chama from the upper part. That's where there'd be a chashash to rabbanan. That's his chiluk. That's the case in Erevin. By sukkah, the branches and the hutzin yarden are besuch esrim, coming down into the 20 amma barrier. So there, the majority of your the ikur, it's interesting. Minor pointed out, it's funny. There, your ikur's not within 20 amma, so maybe according to the ritva, that should be no good. Minor made that point to me. It's an interesting point. But anyway, the leaves itself, the part that's providing more tzel than chama, are within the 20 amma barrier. So that's the chiluk that that the ritva tried to speak out for why we're not worried by sukkah and we are worried by erevin. So that was the little side point for a minute. But focusing back for the Ran, going back for a minute on so we had the Rush and the Rav Yoh, who argued on how to read Daf Tes. So the Ran backs up the Rav Yoh camp, and he asks a kasha on the Rush. He says, the Mishnah on the Tes says what? Ha'usa sukaso. You're building what's supposed to be a kasher sukkah, more schach than avir, and it's kashira, and it happens to be under a tree. That's the Pasha's case. So why is the Rush coming up with this whole thing that it's a sukkah that wouldn't have even been kosher and it's under an elon? Like, what do you mean? We didn't say ha'osa, some random structure that doesn't have enough kosher schach. We said ha'osa sukasa. So how could we respond? So we said a few things. First of all, Michael Reinhardt pointed out that sukasa is a generic lashon, so maybe we could say that, okay, anachanami, it's not a kosher sukkah, but that's what we would say. You could still respond to that point. Like, if the Rush really holds, it's a unique case where it's more chama, that it's more, you know, avir than kasher shchach, the Mishnah could say, if you made a sukkah that had more avir than kasher shchach, and it was under a tree, that would be the case. But anyways, there's a back and forth there. But another point in favor of the Rush is that we said this tzirah flashon sounds like you're actually combining the pasul shchach and kasher shchach to make them work together, which you don't have the mahalik lefi the Rav Yoh, so that lashon actually fits a little bit better with the Rush. So we had this back and forth of who reads smoother into Daf Tes. So that's what we said. Furthermore, the Rush is just a hard read on the Mishnah because the Mishnah seems to be passing something and the Rush saying that the Mishnah is actually a kula. That's a side point. So that's just back and forth of options on Daf Tes of Raya's in both directions. But bringing it home, focusing on one more Shita in that Gemara Erevin, the Rava focusing on a different day, not that there's a chashash that Sukkah might not be no good. Rava actually says that his Lashon is Chalal Sukkah Tanan. And he says that it's actually okay if partially the schach is above and partially below 20 amos, it's okay. So the Rush in Siman Gimel explains, speaks out this shita of Rava. He says the hutzin just need to reach 20 amos or less, and therefore they break through this chalal of 20 amos, and therefore it could be kshir. So as long as you have some of your schach below 20 amos, we're not worried it's no good, not even an ervin. Rabbi says an ervin, it's good too. So that's why it would be good.
And not, always even, are, not even below, right? Just
at or below. Yeah. Meaning a sukkah lamala mesram is no good. That's not a part of the chiddush. But meaning a sukkah lamala mesram is no good. If you're at 20 or beneath, as long as some of your schach is at 20 or beneath, it's kshira. The chiddush that it's only some of your schach. Meaning if I made you a sukkah that's exactly 20 amos, it would be kshira if you call it deos. Fine.
What's
so it means the airspace of a sukkah needs to be 20 amos or less. So we're gonna clarify it a little more in a minute. So the Orza Ruah just quickly is Midaik. Rashi also holds this way. So maybe Rashi also agrees to this because he holds, you know, you count it from 20 amos. Fine. So we said that. But one other point. That's another parenthetical point before we really refine it. So just asked what Chalal Sukkatanan really means. We said back to our Kasha, the Meiri has Kasha on the Lasagya. How does Shidas Rava? We paskin like Rava holds Arai versus Keva, right? For why 20 amos is no good. So how does Rava fit into this? If you have Hutzin Yardin, so okay, great. But if your Sukkah is 20 amos and change, it should be Keva. And Hutzin Yardin, so now it's Kshira. What does that mean? Why should it be Kshira all of a sudden? So, right, because the leaves go below 20 amos. But your walls are still above 20 amos. It should still be Keva. So we said another Lomdisha Mahalik. So Sam brought up this issue in Shir. Josh Hecht and I brought this to Rebbe's attention in Seder earlier. But so what could we say? A similar Lomdis. If the Hutz and Yardin are now breaking into the Chalal, 20 amos or less, the Schach goes there. So Enachanami, the walls go higher. It's still viewed as an Arai Sukkah because the walls meet the Schach at its lowest point at 20 amos or less. It's almost like if you picture a sukkah where it's you build it, it's 19 and a half amos to the schach, and the walls just jut a little higher. It's a little bit of an awkward sukkah, so the walls go a little higher than the schach. That might come up with issues of just sale in general. That's what I was thinking about. Meaning, but at midday, it wouldn't. But anyway, you have these walls a little bit higher, so you wouldn't call that sukkah 20 amos tall. You'd call it 19 and a half amos tall. Because the wall, where the schach starts, so the hutzin yardin, that so really could still fit in Shidas Rava. That's what we said in Shir. But in the meantime, let's understand Shidas Rava. It's funny, they're both Rava. One's Rava and Sukkah, and one's Rava and Erevin. So that was all Rava and Sukkah. Let's understand Rava and Erevin a little bit more, this Chalal Sukkah idea. So as long as some of the schach, Rebbe said probably 7x7 tefachim, just because that's the generic amount to be a kasher Sukkah, but Lav Davka enough to be sale, more sale than Chama. You don't need a kosher amount, let's say, of schach that's below 20 amos. Let's say you have the large majority of your schach is above 20 amos, but some of these bamboo sticks poke down lower and protrude into this. You have this imaginary line of 20 amos. It's like picture the first down line, you know, this drawn line of this chalal of 20 amos, and the bamboo sticks poke through it. So you now have your schach less than 20 amos. The chalal space is not 20 amos. It is for some areas of the schach, but not for less. So Rebbe said if there's like a little bit of an area of these sticks poking down, that's good. So the last bit of understanding of the sugya is, okay, now Hutz and Yardin doesn't fit at all. Because for Hutz and Yardin, we said what? We said you need a rove of kosher, exactly, a rove of tzel in this lower layer of schach. So it sounds like you don't just need some schach protruding this 20 amma marker of chalal. You need a rove. You need a schach that's enough, as Simon just said, to have more tzel than chama. So how does that make any sense? So the Ran addresses this question. The Ran says, what do you really need? You need a davar chashuv, a bamboo stick, a real emtsa'i, big, you know, whatever, that are protruding through into the 20 amma marker. Those are davar chashivim. Those are davar chashuv. So that is enough to make it that it's kshera. But these hutz and yardin are very flimsy. They're not really chashuv. So the only way to break the halal is with a chashuv amount. So if you have an amount that's more shade than sun, that's an amount that's enough to break the halal. But enachanami, if you add bamboo sticks or something else, you wouldn't need a rove or an amount that's more tzel than chama to be kosher. It's a big chiddush in Shidas Rava, the fi erevin, yeah? But the Rush speaks out.
And the Ron's saying that it's irrelevant that the actual shade is now coming from the pasul schach, since if the pasul schach were gone, the lowest knot could create the shade.
It happens to be in the Metzis in our case, right? So it's not true in our case. In our case, the majority of the lower layer on its own, if it was held there, would hold more tzel than chama.
Right.
So in our case, no. But in another case, in theory, if you had,
but it's below, which means that the tzel is coming from the upper ones. But that's irrelevant.
No, but halachically speaking, if you remove that top layer,
it would still be it. So lower, right,
but that's not why it's kshira. Meaning that's because it's hutz and yardin.
Right. No, but saying we're ignoring the fact that is true.
Yes. Okay. That ties into the original chiluk between the pasul ba'etzem schach of the tree versus just that's too high on top, we're not as concerned in that case.
No, but here we're not saying it's rove. We're not discussing rove here. We're just saying that's able.
No, 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 100% not. But if it was sale. If it was schach that was puzzle by etzem, we would presumably would be worried about the fact that it's on top of our kosher schach. Because the schach is not puzzle by etzem and it's just too high, therefore we're not worried. So that wraps up Hutzin Yarden. So then we just started Diras Ruchel, so very briefly I'll speak about it, but Rebbe's going to go weiter today. We just introduced the new case. So we're on Dalar and Aleph. Dalar and Aleph is a bunch of different cases, a lot of 20 plus Amma cases. This case is actually 10 tefachim. So the minimum shear of a sukkah is 10 tefachim. So what if you have 10 tefachim and Hutzin Yarden to make it less than 10 tefachim? So why are we taking a break from all of our 20 Amma cases? Because it's very parallel to the previous case. The previous case was Hutzin Yarden 20 Ammas. Now we have Hutzin Yarden 10 tefachim. So Abaye tries to say very similar to the last case. If you have more sun than shade this time through the lower layer, then it's as if it's like not there. You know, then it'll be kshira. He like almost, it's the opposite. It's the flip side of the last case, says Abaye. So if there's more sun than shade through the lower layer, it should be kshira. Rava says, what are you saying? If it's in the sukkah, it's a dira sukkah, literally smells bad, but we're colloquially, it understands it's a cramped sukkah. Therefore, the sukkah won't be kosher. So how do we understand these shittas? So for Abaye, it's a little strange. Why does Abaye care if it's kosher schach or not? He's like, oh, if there's chama, then sale. You have something protruding into your sukkah now. You have this tiny sukkah, picture a small sukkah, 10 tefachim tall, not very high at all. If you had a metal bar running through the top, well, it's definitely not kosher schach, but it's definitely getting in the way of your comfortability in your sukkah. So Rabbi would say to Abaye, why do you care if it's kosher schach or not? So let's understand Abaye for a minute.
You say based on the, if you're saying that it's parallel to the last sukkah, so then based on the previous sukkah says that if it's good schach, so then that gives it like, I guess, chashivus, and so it's enough to pause. So conversely, so here if it's not good, so then it wouldn't pause.
Oh, so that we're gonna speak out along those lines. But at first glance at the last sukkah, it makes sense that you need it to be sale more than chama because you need kosher schach within the 20 amma barrier. So that's why you need it. But as Eitan's speaking out now, that's not what we ended up saying l'maskan at the end of the sugya. At the end of the sugya, we were talking about a davar chashiva. So the Abaye presumably understands that if there's something in your sukkah, but it's more chama than sale, it doesn't have a shem schach, but it's not about not having a shem schach. It's as if it doesn't exist. It's not a real chashiv thing in your way. It's not like a metal bar. It's just some leaves that happen to be in your sukkah. If it has taka more sale than chama, it's not that Abaye cares that would be a kosher schach. It's not kosher schach. It's too low. It's that it's now a chosh of a thing that it's a lot of, you know, hutzin really in your sukkah. It's as if it, you know, really getting in the way. But if it's less than that, it's as if it's not there. It's not considered legitimate. Rava would just say, no, I mean, you have something here. Enachanami, even though it doesn't have, you know, it's command alasa alpi din, right? It's as if it's not there because it's not enough to be providing, you know, tzeil. It's still in the way. It's still, you know, penetrating your comfortability, your space, and your ten tefachim, so Rava would still say it's an issue. But we analyze Rava just a little bit, and then we'll wrap things up. That Rava, presumably, well, the Gemara Daf Yud is going to be very big. So the Gemara Yud Amud Beis talks about putting up decorations. So decorations, if you put it on the side, everyone holds that that's no good. If you're in the minimum 7x7 tefachim and 10 tefachim tall, it can't be on the side. You can no longer fit properly in your sukkah. What if you put it up top? So then it's actually not mamayit. So Rashi and Tosafot say, The decoration isn't mamayit for 20 amos lahachshir, and not for 10 tefachim lehafsal. For 10 tefachim, you could put something up top. So why does it make sense that you could put hutzin are a problem lefi Rava, but decorations are not? So Tosas addresses this and tries to speak it out. We said a svara that you need 10 tefachim as a part of your tashmish hasukkah. It needs to be usable for eating, for sleeping. If you choose to use some of that usage to make it nicer, to put something up that's supposed to be there to enhance the sukkah, then you could, like, whatever, hunch your head or eat a little bit around it. You're choosing to utilize some of your tashmish hasukkah in that way. But who doesn't just take away from your ability to use the sukkah? It's getting in the way. So we tried to develop a chiluk between those two. On the side, you just can't physically fit, so nothing's going to be good on the side. But off top, you could still physically fit, but hutzin are just getting in the way, versus, you know, the decorations from Nafiyot are really just enhancing your ability to be in the sukkah, even though it's taking up some space.
Sure.